Hello, this is Daniel Gregory. Thanks so much for joining me today for another episode of the Perceptive Photographer Podcast. This is our 308th episode, and I really do appreciate you tuning in, checking out the podcast, seeing what's happening over here in the studio. I wanted to say, no matter what platform or product you're listening to the podcast on, I do appreciate you tuning in. Don't forget, if you like the podcast, a little ranking or review up on any one of those platforms helps other people to discover the podcast, so there's just a few more listeners there. I would appreciate that. It would really mean a lot to me. Before we dive into today's topic, you know, this podcast lands on February 1st, which is a Monday, and that starts a Black History Month. And I did want to shout out, you know, if you want to learn a little bit more about the photography history of African-American photography, there is a wonderful, wonderful history book titled Reflections in Black by Deborah Willis. And it's the history of African-American photography since the inception of photography through up the about the late 1990s. So there's a really great collection of work in there, some stunning, stunningly beautiful photographs from a whole collection of photographers. So in honor of Black History Month, I thought I'd make sure I made you aware of that book. If you do not have it, it is definitely an amazing, amazing history and a wonderful way of taking a look at the history of photography from a perspective you potentially haven't seen or looked at. And there's going to be a whole host of amazing photographers in there that you're going to get to learn from. So a great opportunity for that. This week, I wanted to talk about something that's come up over and over and over and over and over and over again. And it's actually been an argument that's probably gone back since the existence of the first cave drawing. And the question of, is a photograph a bad photograph, or does the person who is looking at the photograph just have poor taste? Like, do they actually understand what they're looking at, or is it truly a bad photograph? And so I wanted to talk about that a little bit today, because I think probably the answer is probably somewhere in the middle. I think, you know, taste is highly personal, and I think there's a lot of things we do in how we perceive objects and things, food, whatever we're tasting something. You know, we like certain movies, other people don't like the movie. Our tastes are different because of the way we've been brought up, the way we've approached things, the things we've learned, the influences in life, and those kind of define our taste. And yet, as photographers, one of the things, particularly, you know, as we've talked about a lot in this podcast, you have to suspend your taste sometimes to actually really dive in and understand a photograph. You have to think about and read and process and understand that photograph. And what is that photograph about? What is the intention behind that photograph? And how successful is that photograph in communicating that message or communicating a message? And I think that really kind of gets to the crux of this question of poor taste versus bad photograph, is that there are certain things within the photograph, there are certain things within the structure of the way we look at a photograph that can diminish the appreciation of the reading of the photograph. There are other things in the photograph, like I said, that are maybe things we don't like or respond to. So we think something is in poor taste, but that doesn't mean it's a bad photograph. The construction of the photograph and the frame of the photograph and the composition of the photograph and the way it pulls together works and is successful. And that's different than something I don't like as poor taste. We still have a good photograph. So I do think there is this notion of something that we don't like out of personal preference and something we don't like because there is something inherent to the nature of the photograph that is causing us to have a reaction that prevents us from being able to experience the totality of the photograph. And so one of the questions that I get asked a lot is, what makes a bad photograph? And a lot of times when you start off in a basic photography class, they talk about a bad photograph is the horizon line's not straight, or the focus is slightly off, or, you know, there's an arm that's been dismembered and you're only getting half a forearm. Now, something in terms of just the actual way we look at the photograph. And those are things that we would traditionally find pleasing or displeasing from a visual representation or visual presentation. And if we have too many of those in the photograph, we find them to be a distraction. We define them to be something that causes us to have a response that is contrary to potentially what the photographer intended. And therefore, we say that those make bad photographs. Now, out of that is born this idea that photographs are all similar, that we have this very specific construct for what constitutes a well-composed photograph. But behind that, so I think there is this idea of this classic composition, but there's times, and you think about your own photographs, you think about other photographs, you think about photographs that are well-known, they don't necessarily hold every single time to all of those classic rules of composition. What they hold to is a certain emotionally triggered response. They elicit something within us that is bounded by and created by the structure within the frame. So as we frame up the photograph, we compose the photograph. If I want to push the uncomfortableness of the photograph, and so I dismember somebody halfway across the face and halfway across the wrist, and you look at that photograph and you think, oh man, that's just kind of creepy. You don't do that. That's not right. And yet the purpose of that photograph is actually to create and elicit that response. It's to put you on edge. It's to make you uncomfortable. It's to make you twitch sideways in the chair. Then while it's not necessarily compositionally a good photograph, it actually is not a bad photograph because it is speaking to the response that was intended by the photographer. We get to the intention of the photographer that was created that way. So you may not like that photograph. You may think that photograph is in poor taste, but that doesn't mean that it's not a successful photograph or that it's not a good photograph because it is in fact doing what was the intention when it was created. So we have to figure this out as photographers. We have to figure out at what point are we not aware of what we're doing compositionally that helps us drive the story, drive the narrative, drive the experience that we want to say versus things that we're not even aware of are happening in the composition. And for me, when I talk to mentorees, students, faculty, peers, myself, when I'm talking to myself in the studio, thankfully not being recorded because people would think I was crazy, but when I'm talking to myself about the photograph and I start to read that photograph, look at the totality of that photograph, the things that are in there that are distractions against the narrative, distractions against the story, distractions against the emotional element that I'm trying to communicate through the photograph, those become elements that make it a untechnically bad photograph. So whether it's on either side of that, the badness of the photograph, the incorrectness of the photograph, so to speak, comes from something being done in the framing and composition, exposure, editing, wherever the magical sleight of hand happens, that prevents me from being able to dig deeper into the photograph. I can't get a sense of what the photograph is about. I can't get a sense of what would drive me deeper into the photograph because the element is so strong in its ability to distract that I can't find it. I call this the Starbucks white cup syndrome. And I look at a lot of street photography and there's these giant, I don't know, 64 ounce cups, whatever size cup it is, sitting there on the table in the middle of the frame. And there's this kind of cool scene behind it. But your eye just keeps going back to this white cup, this big white cup, this big white cup. It's a distraction to the frame that keeps pulling you back to something that the photograph is definitely not about. It is not about that white cup. It's about the scene behind the white cup. So it becomes something that prevents us from seeing the photograph. And so it's not that I don't like the photograph. It's not that it's not my cup of tea. It's not that I wouldn't hang it on my wall. It's that something within the construction of the composition is no longer allowing the true narrative, intention, purpose that was behind that to show through. Now, I may not even know the intention or purpose of the photographer, but if the distraction is there, I still can't even get to the sense ability of figuring out my own interpretation of the photograph because I'm continually hammered on that element that's just not right. And so while I don't think there's necessarily rules that have to be followed all the time. There's not rules that need to be constructed all the time that every photograph has to follow. There is also a sensibility of those rules of third, golden ratio, framing, those things that are there because they help us create and craft a language around the narrative we want to tell in a meaningful way. And so the story gets told in many ways as a more effective story by following some of those rules of composition, those rules and guidelines of composition. But when we break that structure and we break it with purpose and we break it with intention and we break it with awareness, that's different than having something just kind of float out in the frame that we didn't even see or were aware of at the time. I can't tell you how many times the giant white Starbucks cup shows up in people's photographs and they don't even see it because they're caught up in something else within the photograph. And as soon as they see it, they get it. This is a problem. This is something that is now such a distraction that I'm not getting the rest of the experience. In terms of that element being equated to taste, there are a lot of photographs that I look at and learn from and appreciate, but will never hang on my wall. They're never in my taste bucket. They're nothing that I'm going to want to look at every day, but they're insightful, meaningful, emotionally charged, heavy-hitting photographs that I think need to be seen. Those stories need to be shared. And for those stories to work, the photograph has to work. It has to have avoided those elements of distraction. It needs to have that eye and attention to detail put to it so that we make sure we get the right story and narrative. So as you're looking at photographs, as you're thinking about photographs, and you say, well, that's just not a very good photograph. Think about, why is it not a very good photograph? Why do you think that's a bad photograph? Is it because it's just not something you like? Is it outside your realm of taste? It's like a food you don't appreciate or would never want to eat again? Or is it making you uncomfortable? Or is it something else that just has you respond negatively to the content? Or you don't like the certain photographer. There's a photographer you don't like. As soon as you look at the work, you're like, well, I don't like that photographer's work. Whatever it is, we have to make sure that what we respond to and be aware of is, that's not my cup of tea, is different than, that's not a good photograph. Those are two different things. And if we say it's not a good photograph, why is it not a good photograph to what you're seeing and experiencing? Because if you say, well, it's not a good photograph because, you know, I don't like the color blue. Or it's not a good photograph because it's too soft, it's too delicate, it's too high key. Well, those are preferences. That doesn't mean the photograph is bad. It just means it's outside your preference. Again, outside your sense of taste. But if you're able to look at the photograph and say, wow, there's this amazing story and message, but I keep getting distracted by this one element, and I don't understand how this element fits into that broader narrative, well, that's different. That starts that conversation. So I hope you take a look at your photographs. Think about your photographs and how you process and look at them. As you look at other photographs, try to break that line apart. I think you'll find your ability to appreciate photography to be much higher when you can separate those two things. And even for the photographs that aren't your cup of tea, I think you'll find you'll be able to appreciate them in a different way. Thanks so much again for tuning into the podcast. I hope you have a safe and wonderful week. Don't forget to check out Reflections in Black, Deborah Willis's History of African-American Photography, an amazing history book. It's just one of my actual favorite books on the shelf. Some beautiful, beautiful work in there. So check that out. And thanks again for listening, and I'll see you next time.